Moncrief on News Talk.
Not too long ago, scientists discovered microbes on the bed of the South Pacific, a part of the world that wouldn't usually be regarded as particularly hospitable to life. But that wasn't the remarkable bit. The microbes were in a dormant state and were subsequently revived. They'd been dormant for 100 million years. Stephen Daunt from the University of Rhode Island joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Now, this particular piece of earth that they went looking for microbes, where was it and how far down on, was it?
Well, we went out to the middle of the South Pacific Ocean, and so it was under 6 kilometers of water. And then we drilled another 70 or 80 meters into the sediment to get the oldest sample.
And were you fairly confident that you would find microbes there?
I was pretty confident we'd find microbes there because we had evidence from chemical data from 30 years before, from the early 80s, that looked like there was some breathing going on in the sediment. But we didn't have any real good idea what we'd find when we got there.
Mm. But presumably that far down, that deep down, there's very little oxygen or anything in the way of nutrients.
Well, one of the things that's shocking about the abyssal clay, the red and brown clay in the middle of the ocean that we discovered on this cruise, is the oxygen penetrates all the way through the sediment and into the rocky basement below. So geologists had this mental image that oxygen disappeared in the first few millimeters to centimeters of the seafloor. But out there, there's so little breathing going on that it can extend, 100 meters into the sediment and then into the underlying basalt.
Wow. So when you extracted the clay then, the bacteria, what kind of a state was it in? Was it in some sort of a dormant state?
We honestly don't know. There were so few bacteria that it was a struggle to count them. And, they were right at our detection limit. We knew they were there because we found bacteria in every sample. And we set our detection limit such that we should only find them in 1 out of 20 samples if they weren't there or if we're below our limit. So we knew there were bacteria were there, but we didn't really have a very good sense at sea what kinds of bacteria they were or what they were doing.
Mm. Now, were you able to eventually identify this bacteria, and is it a common bacteria?
Those are both really good questions. And so what we did at sea was that Yuki Murano, who's the lead author of the article that you saw, took a subset of the sample and split it up and put essentially food in these little splits. So he'd give one acetate, he'd give another amino acid, and then we put them all, back under reasonable physical conditions and sent them home with him. And then for the next few years, every few months, he'd take a split of the sample out and count the bacteria and then analyze their DNA to see what was there. And he also took a sample at the very beginning to see what was there before they started growing. So essentially what we found was that these bacteria that had been down there for 100 million years, this community that had been down there for 100 million years, breathing really, really, really slowly without much food, could sit up and respond to Yuki's buffet.
Was it, now, to be clear about this, were they the original bacteria that you found, do you think, 100 million years old, or just there had been a community down there for at least 100 million years?
Oh, that's a lovely question. That's a great question. The short answer is that we don't know, and it's hard to imagine a bacterium living for 100 million years. The problem that we're facing is that the trickle of energy that was getting through to them, the amount of food that was available around them, was so slow that in theory they couldn't have been divided. They could have only, bacteria dividing and multiplying, of course, are the same thing.
Mm.
So they couldn't have been multiplying. They could only be repairing their bodies as they wore down. That's the theory. But if that theory is correct, then these things have lived for 100 million years, which is, on the face of it, ridiculous. But if they haven't lived for 100 million years, they've been reproducing with much less energy than we've traditionally thought is necessary to reproduce. So we've got a conundrum either way, and the simplest way to think of it is something you alluded to, and that's to think that it's been the same community for 100 million years, but we don't know that the individuals are the same.
My word, both are mind-boggling possibilities, but also I suppose that life can pretty much exist anywhere in extremis on this planet, so one could infer from that it can do the same thing on other planets.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation, you know, like the bacteria in our digestive systems are dividing on scales of minutes to hours, and these things have been persisting on almost no food for 100 million years, which is considerably longer than minutes to hours. You know, for something to survive beneath, say, the surface of Mars, it would only need to have been hanging out since a billion or 2 billion years or 3 billion years since there was liquid water, which is an extraordinary period of time. But it's only an order of magnitude more than the 100 million that these things have already been living in deep sea clay.
And when your colleagues started feeding them and they started multiplying, did they do it particularly rapidly, or were they kind of slow about doing it anyway?
You know, they were slow compared to the things that live on and in us, but they were not too slow for environmental microbes. We started seeing evidence of reproduction in about 3 weeks, and some of them moved faster than others. They were all fairly ordinary kinds of marine bacteria. And some of them started multiplying in, as I was saying before, like 21 days. Others took several months. But by the end of his few years, pretty much everything that was originally present in the sample was growing and dividing.
That is quite extraordinary. Stephen, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Stephen Daunt is a professor of oceanography at the University of Rhode Island and co-author of that particular study. Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Moncrief on News Talk.